You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill for the 29th of December 2017. Quickly approaching the end of the year, but there's more Christmas crackers on the way for you. Coming up today will be at Leopardstown Grade 1 action, Limerick as well, Savile, and hopefully Doncaster as long as it survives its morning inspection. It's all live from 5 past midday on William Hill's Racing Radio. And you can join Stephen Powell, Craig Forsyth and Andrew Mounts, who are going to guide you through the action. But for now on the podcast, my name's John Gibby, and an exciting moment as we welcome for his podcast debut, Will Haler. Hello, Will. How are you?
Hello, John. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, good. It's good to have you on. Did you speak your first words on the Daily Racing Podcast?
It's a great honour to be in Studio 3 for the first time.
Yes.
Never made it this far down the corridor.
Fine. Have you been in Studio 1 before?
No, I haven't.
No,
that thrill's still to come.
This is your first foray at a Studio 2.
Special things happen at Christmas, John.
They do indeed. It's a Christmas miracle. Right, we'll talk about the best of the action from Leopardstown on Thursday. It's that point in between Christmas and New Year where you get confused about what day it is.
It's madness.
We'll talk about Thursday in a minute. But first up, let's get your nap and next best selections for Friday's racing, Will. So we'll start with your next best. We'll build it up a little bit. Where's your next best run?
Okay, so my next best is at Limerick, which is the sort of supporting action to Leopardstown. The feature contest at Limerick is the Guinness Novice Hurdle. It's a Grade 2 contest at 2:10 over 3 miles. Only got 5 runners, but it's an interesting race. All 5 of these have their claims in various respects. There's a couple of Willie Mullins runners, Fabulous Saga, the top weight. But the one I like is the filly who gets all the weight at the bottom of the field. That's NC Valavie, number 5. She's pretty unexposed at marathon trips, but the first time she stepped up in distance at Thurles last time, I was really impressed. She won by 13 lengths from Martello Park, who's come out and franked that form pretty well, finishing second of 25 in a big novice hurdle at Navan on a subsequent appearance. So I think Ansi Villavie, we don't really know how good she could be at this kind of distance. The rest are all fairly exposed, but getting the weight in this small field, I liked her chances under Brian Hayes.
It was a good bumper performance for Willie Mullins. Finished a campaign in bumpers a little bit earlier on in the year, winning a listed contest by 2 lengths from Glen's Harmony, I know a lot is thought about. So there's clearly plenty of class there.
Yeah, I mean, she's unexposed. First of all, it's interesting that Mullins is running 2 against each other. You could argue that jockey booking suggests that Fabulous Saga might be the more favoured of the pair, and certainly he was a pretty bloodless winner at Cork last time. I think he won by 128 lengths or something ridiculous like that. But I don't think that's necessarily a piece of form I'd want to take too literally. And I thought that Ansi Valavie was the least exposed of these.
So Ainsley Valavie then, the next best selection for Will Haler on Friday's action. And now it's time for the big one. What about your nap?
Well, I do think there's an interesting British Raiders in the 120, the Mare's Hurdle. It's a Grade 3 race at Leopardstown. I was surprised by how few British trained horses go over to Leopardstown for this meeting, as the prize money's decent and the ground at Leopardstown's actually probably better than the going conditions that they'd be facing at most tracks in Britain at the moment. Certainly it was soft enough at Kempton on the second day. The rain's not really got into the ground that much at Leopardstown. So interesting that Phil Kirby is sending Lady Buttons over for this Grade 3 hurdle. She was actually a winner over Fences last time, so they're switching back to the smaller obstacles here. But I don't think that's a major issue. I liked her performance at Bangor when she won over Fences, and I really liked what she did first time out at Wetherby in the listed mare's hurdle on Charlie Hall day. She was pretty clearly for everyone to see in front too soon that day. The race just didn't quite pan out. No blame attributed to the jockey. He was just found himself in front too soon. Big wide open spaces at Wetherby that day and a loud raucous crowd, and she ended up rolling around all over the place between the last two and was a sitting duck on the run-in for Le Bagawa to go steaming back past on the run-in. But Le Bagawa has come out since and franked that form with a good win at Kempton, where she beat Jer's Girl, a smart Irish horse trained by Gavin Cromwell. I think that's really decent form. And although she's up against a couple of decent yardsticks here, I think she's quite a meaty price, Lady Buttons, in this lineup. And I think she'd certainly give you a good run for your money each way. So I fancy her chances of springing a surprise and getting the better of the likes of Let's Dance. We know Let's Dance is a very good mare. She's a Cheltenham Festival winner, I should say, from last season. But she's not unbeatable. And
been beaten the last three times?
Yeah, and I think Lady Buttons is the value against her.
Lady Buttons, then, is Will's nap at Leopardstown on Friday. Of course, you can hear the action from Leopardstown and the rest of the tracks racing on Friday on William Hill's Racing Radio. Full selections and commentaries on those races to come. But now let's take a look back, Will, at what's happening. As we record this on Thursday, it's very recent, it's very fresh. And we'll go on to talk about what is now known as the Leopardstown Christmas Chase shortly, the race formerly known as the Lexus. But let's start off with another Grade 1 contest, the Christmas Hurdle, where Apple's Jade, back up to 3 miles, has come out and won by half a length. But the odds-on favourite was made to work hard for that success.
She was. And she sets an interesting poser for Connections now, in that earlier this season they were pretty clear that they would prefer to stick to mare's company with her at the big festivals later this year. But she saw out the 3 mile trip so well today, despite a really impressive opportunistic bit of riding from Robbie Power on Super Sunday, who tried to stretch the elastic all the way on Apple's Jade. In fact, it was Apple's Jade who found the most on the running to get on top, and I was not disappointed by Apple's Jade's performance. I thought she earns extra marks for really toughing it out at the end of a fairly attritional test, and be fascinating to see where she fits into the big picture for Cheltenham, Aintree, Punchestown, all those big meetings later this year. Will they stick to the original plan of going for the Mayor's Only race and presumably the David Nicholson hurdle at the festival, or will they decide to chuck their arm in against the best of the stayers? But I think it was a very good performance, and I don't think the runner-up is a slouch. I think Super Sunday ran really well too.
Gordon Elliott says he has this policy of putting his horses in the races they have the best chance of winning, and that's the reason why Apple's Jade is apparently being aimed at the Mayor's Hurdle at the Cheltenham Festival, as you say. It's quite unusual for Giggenstown to have a senior hurdler full stop, but do you think that is why Elliott's aiming her at that race, or do you think there's stuff going on behind the scenes that maybe we don't know about, internal politics, or he just wants another Grade 1 winner at the festival?
I don't know, but what I do know is that for the next 2.5 months, I suspect we're going to be having this conversation quite a lot. And the issue as to whether there might be a late change of plan in our increasingly Cheltenham-obsessed jump season media coverage.
What do you think about that? Do you like that or not?
It doesn't bother me. Keeps me in a job.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. No, I don't have a problem with it. I mean, as a punter, Cheltenham is about the only meeting I'd consider having an anti-post bet at.
Yeah.
So I can't pretend that I'm better than the rest of them. I love the Cheltenham anti-post game as much as anyone. Doesn't mean I get it right very often, but I do sometimes. Yes, I think that the fella that pays the bills calls the shots with those horses, and I suspect it will ultimately be his decision.
As we mentioned, Super Sunday's run very well in second, but Palm on its first run out of Juvenile Hurdling Company, I believe, has run a big race back in third.
Yes, travelled really nicely, possibly suited by the way the race was run. May not quite have got home as well as Apple's Jade and Super Sunday did, but only a four-year-old, and you certainly couldn't knock her for that effort.
Looking down at some of the other beaten horses, Augusta Kate and Jeski, and of course we've got to put in a mention for Nichols Canyon. Of course, multiple Grade 1 winner for Winnie Mullins, including the Stairs Hurdle, the only horse to ever beat for Heen, who unfortunately suffered a fatal fall in the raceway.
People forget quite how many Grade 1 races Nichols Canyon won. I mean, he mopped up an awful lot of races in his short career. It was only seven when he sadly died today. Effective at a number of trips. Perfectly high-class horse at 2 miles as well as three. Despite not being the biggest, usually a tidy jumper of his obstacles, and he'll be very much missed at his stable, I'm sure.
So Nichols Canyon sadly passing away in the Christmas Hurdle, the Grade One, won by Apple's Jade to Gordon Elliott and Davy Russell. And there was more joy for a Gigginstown House stud later on the card, as they achieved a 1-2-3 in the Leopardstown Christmas Chase, the race formerly known as the Lexus, the Grade One contest over 3 miles. But it's difficult to know what to make of this race, Will, in many ways. Sizing John and York Hill, the two market leaders, have both been very disappointing.
As you say, we're recording this in the fairly immediate aftermath of the race, and so it's hard to get some sense of perspective upon that result. However, my initial suspicion passing the line is that the form probably won't have a great bearing on much else that happens this season. A fantastic achievement by Noel Mead, who's brought Road to Respect on steadily, didn't overface him or overrace him at times when his stable weren't doing so well. This season, Noel Mead has experienced a welcome return to form. He struck while the iron is hot. That was Road to Respect's third run of the season already, and he has been mopping up the prizes. I really like this horse. I'm delighted he's won for his jockey, Sean Flanagan, and for the trainer. But do I think he's a Gold Cup winner? Probably not. I think he'll have to improve at least another £10 to be a Gold Cup winner. I don't like Outlander. I think he's got two ways of running, and I don't think he's a horse I particularly want to, you know, have on my side. Manila Rocco didn't run a bad race. That was his first sign of life, but probably more a suggestion that the race was run at a very testing gallop than anything else. Take Manila Rocco out, and Jigginstown would have had a 1-2-3-4-5 with their only five runners in the race. I mean, what a ridiculous outcome that would have been. Who could have seen that the last two horses to cross the line would be sizing John and York Hill? Amazing. York Hill, you know, as I've just said live on William Hill Racing Radio, I don't. He hasn't gone down in my estimations for today's performance. I still think he's a mad genius. I don't know what the plan will be for him now. I'd suggest possibly Champion Chase rather than Champion Hurdle.
It seemed like Willie Mullins hasn't had much of an idea himself what the plan is with this horse. He's even talked about going back over hurdles.
The one thing I can say about York Hill is that there is no way that the original plan for this race today was for him to be in front by the third fence. Yeah. That surely was an accident. The horse took Paul Townend there. Paul Townend tried to get him buried. York Hill decided he was going to play his usual, you know, look at me role. And he jumped fantastically well for 2 miles. He jumps like a show jumper. He just didn't get a home because he went set off too quickly on his first start of the season. I'm sure he'll come on for it. And I wouldn't be tearing up my ticket if I've backed him for almost any other race this season. If you've got an anti-post voucher on him for something, you know, I don't think you've done your money on him, because I think it was a really good performance for a long way. Sizing John, perhaps a little harder to explain, given that he has already come out this season and seemingly shown his well-being. Although the horse he beat in the John Durkin Jackadam failed to turn in any sort of a performance today, which perhaps makes you question how much the form of the John Durkin was worth in hindsight.
It's a bit of a concern when you look at Sizing John's last two races before this, the John Durkin, where he's beaten Jack and Ann very well, and though we were treated to a fantastic finish at Punchestown earlier in the year, the two horses he's beaten there in Coney Green Jackadam haven't really fired since, and you wonder, if that form is as good as it looked initially.
By the time you listen to this, dear listener, all may have become clear and excuses may have come to light for sizing John and indeed Jack Adam. But in the immediate aftermath of the race, the Gold Cup picture looks about as clean as the window to the multi-story car park outside. I haven't got the faintest idea what's going to run in the Gold Cup, let alone what's going to win it. Mike Bite is about the only obvious contender at this stage, but basically anyone that's got a horse that's rated 145 plus that stays 3 miles plus will now be thinking, I mean, you know, the likes of Black Lion, suddenly you're thinking, Black Lion, you know, is he out of the Gold Cup? Is Definitely Red out of the Gold Cup? It's been a crazy few days.
In the immediate aftermath of the race, Mike Bite is the 5-1 anti-post favourite of us here at William Hill for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. 6-1 sizing John. Road to Respect goes into 10-1. Coney Island 12s. Also 12-1 for Native River, who we yet to see this season. I cannot personally have our Duke for a second at 12-1 after his comeback run, though I do realise there were a couple of excuses. Thistle Crack's 14s, Disco's 16s, and it's 20-1. But for me, Will, after his performance in the King George, Mike Bite at 5-1. I wouldn't necessarily back him anti-post, but he seems to like this winner of the race.
I don't disagree with you. I never thought I'd say this, but I thought, given the fact that he went toe-to-toe with Bristol DeMay for a couple of miles and the pair of them appeared to go off very fast in the race, I didn't think that was a bad performance at all. And I don't think I'd want to hang Mike Bite by the fact that it was Double Shuffle who finished in second.
Mm, who goes really well at Kempton.
Goes really well at Kempton, probably turned in the performance of his life. Mike Bite, I never felt like he was really going to get caught by Double Shuffle. And I think if they'd gone another mile, Mike Bite probably would have held on. Yeah, I wouldn't put you off 5-1. I'm not the greatest advocate of anti-post betting with nearly 3 months to go to the festival, but I tell you what, he's going there unbeaten this season with a Cheltenham Festival win in the book from last year, and he ticks an awful lot of boxes. And I can't help but mention Black Lion at 40-1 as well. Many a good Grand National horse has taken in the Gold Cup on their way to Aintree as a trial and occasionally hit the frame in those contests. And
occasionally won?
Yeah, you know, if they do decide to take Black Lion to the Gold Cup en route to Aintree, 40-1 each way might not look a bad voucher to have in your pocket.
Well, it's a muddy and confusing Gold Cup picture we're left with after the action on Thursday. Hopefully it'll come a bit clearer in the coming months, but stay tuned to William Hill's Racing Radio and the Daily Racing Podcast for all the latest on the National Hunt season as we progress past the Christmas season of goodwill and into the new year.
Does that mean goodwill's ending, John? Is that what you're saying?
There will be no goodwill.
Oh.
Yeah, until next Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Unless all our bets come in at Cheltenham, then that'll be all right.
Well, goodbye, listeners. Bye. Thank you for listening.
On that rather somber night. Well, thank you. You made, I think, a solid debut.
Thanks.
Shown plenty of promise.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
And hopefully you can progress and come on for the run and put in an even better showing next time. Who knows?
I'll endeavour to do so. I fear that York Hill, though, York Hill, I might just be a bit too crazy to be relied upon. But
we'll find out.
We'll see.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us on the Daily Racing Podcast.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.